الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, the ayat recited is an ayat in Surah Ma'idah in the sixth juz of the Holy Quran. It's a very well-known ayat, and many places, many people quote this particular ayat. The ayat, the translation of which is, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians as what the Quran says, awliya, your supporters, your protectors, your close friends. Ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd, they are friends unto one another. And whoever befriends them, he becomes one of them. This is the ayat. Now this particular aspect, especially for people like you and I, who are living in an environment where we come into contact with non-Muslims, and some of us would come into contact with non-Muslims on a daily basis, is of importance for us to understand. On one hand, we have the ayat which I've recited, and similar types of ayats which appear in various places in the Holy Quran, containing similar themes and a similar message. On the other hand, while we have these ayats, we also have the practical example of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The practical example of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that in terms of his compassion, his kindness, and his sympathy, not only for Muslims but also for non-Muslims, was of such a nature that it has no comparison and no parallel in human history. Now, if someone were to look at these things only from a cursory glance, or look at it superficially, one is the ayat which I have quoted, where it says that do not have close ties and do not befriend those who are disbelievers. On the other hand, you have Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practical example. Someone who only looks at this matter superficially would think that there is a contradiction in the two. He would feel that there is a contradiction between these two aspects. But in reality, this contradiction is because of our misunderstanding, or it is only taking one aspect of the Holy Quran, one aspect of the Quranic ayats and message, without looking at this particular issue, without looking at this important issue overally and collectively, putting all the ayats together. As I've said, because this is such an important ayat, and the topic is so important, especially for you and I, coming in, as I said, in a situation where we deal with non-Muslims, perhaps on a daily level, some more than others. Now, we need to understand this particular issue, and need to understand this particular topic very, very carefully. And what I would make also a request is, we do not take one particular aspect of the talk in isolation, but look at it collectively, and look at it, the entire subject and topic, the way the Quran and Hadith have explained it to us. Firstly, let us understand there are various degrees of relationship that a person has with a next human being. Various degrees of relationship. Sometimes, for example, even in our own situation, we find that you have a type of relationship with your mother and with your wife. But it's a different degree of relationship. It's a different type of relationship. The relationship that you have with your wife is different from that which you have with your mother or with your auntie or with any other particular person. So even within our own individual self, we have different degrees of relationship that you have with another human being. Now, amongst the relationship that you have with another human being is, one of them is what is known as mu'amalat and dealings. Mu'amalat and dealings, meanings your dealings, your financial dealings with another person. In this particular degree and type of relationship, it is permissible to deal with non-Muslim, except such a relationship or such a dealing which will cause harm to the entire body of the Muslim Ummah. Like, for example, dealing in arms with a non-Muslim with weaponry where it is felt or there is a doubt that he would use that weapons against non-Muslims or against Muslims. That's a different matter. Otherwise, on general circumstances, it is permissible to deal with non-Muslims. And in fact, trade and financial dealings and all matters allied to it, like for example, financial dealings, being in the employment of a non-Muslim company, or non-Muslims being in the employment of Muslims, that is all permissible in Sharia. Somehow or the other, many a times you get the feeling that many Muslims feel that in terms of our dealings with non-Muslims, if we were to be less than fair with them, then somehow or the other it is correct or not so bad as being, you know, unfair with Muslims. This particular attitude and notion, which I've heard many a times amongst people, is far removed from Islamic ethics and Islamic teachings. In fact, I would go a step further and say that in our dealings with non-Muslims, perhaps we're supposed to be even more fair. And we are supposed to even portray a better example when we deal with them. And the reason being that when we go and deal with non-Muslims, we are regarded to be representatives of Islam. And when people would take an image of Islam on the basis of how they deal with Muslims, and as a representative of Islam and Muslims, it is of utmost importance that we present a fair picture of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid that a person or another person turns away from Islam on the basis of how you and I have dealt with such a person. May Allah forbid that we become the cause of someone turning away from Islam. This week I was reading one of the books of Maulana Zulfiqar Ahmad Sahib Maddazilul Ali, who was in our country recently. He makes mention of an incident, and he says he knows personally about this incident. That a non-Muslim was going to Jami Masjid in Delhi, and he came into contact with a beggar. He gave him something. The next evening when he came home, he realized that his purse had fell down somewhere, and it has been lost. Not being sure where it was, the next day he went again to the Jami Masjid, feeling that perhaps it might have dropped somewhere in that vicinity and someone might have picked it up. He come into contact. The moment he comes near the masjid, the beggar pursues him and said, "This is your purse that you had dropped yesterday." Immediately he asked the question, "Yesterday you were a beggar, you took money from me, but now there is so much money in the purse and you are giving it back to me? I mean, you are a beggar, you took money from me, but you are returning the purse. What is the reality behind the situation?" He said, "I looked at the purse, I saw the money, I was tempted to take it. But then this thought struck me. On the day of Qiyamah, your Nabi must not taunt my Nabi that your Ummati stole from my Ummati." I felt this particular aspect that on the day of Qiyamah, your Nabi must not taunt my Nabi that your Ummati stole from my Ummati. As the Shaykh al-Hadith of Mu'ana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in Fazail al-Sadaqat has written, he written there are over 20 ayats in the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized the importance of ratifying an agreed contract, an agreement that you have with someone. And he says, "I have not found more emphasis upon any other particular act in the Holy Quran." And in this, under this particular aspect, he says that in this, under this discussion, as the Shaykh al-Hadith Hazrat Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has written, that he quoted the saying of a very famous scholar, Maymun bin Mihran Rahmatullah Ali, where Maymun bin Mihran Rahmatullah Ali said, "There is no difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim in three things. Relatives must be treated kindly, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. Amanat must be returned back to its rightful owner, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. And agreements must be ratified and upheld, whether that agreements be done with Muslim or non-Muslims." This is the one degree of relationship that we have with another person. The second degree of relationship that we have with another person is what is known in Islamic terminology in Arabic as muasat. Muasat means that we deal with someone on the basis of compassion, on the basis of kindness and generosity because of some difficulty that have befallen them. Now in this particular regard, there is an ayat in the Holy Quran in Surah Mumtahina. And let us read this and let us listen to this ayat very carefully. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا عليهم. Allah does not prohibit you with regard to those particular non-Muslims who are not hostile towards you, who do not force you out of your homes, that you treat them with fairness, kindness, and justice. Allah does not prevent you. That with those non-Muslims, you deal with them with fairness, kindness, and justice. The word that is used in this ayat is the word birr. Our ulama have written the word birr is a very comprehensive term, which is even over and above fairness. It is a word which Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran refers to in our relationship with our parents. Birr walidain, it is said, be good to your parents. The word birr has been used in this ayat to refer to our relationship with non-Muslims, those non-Muslims who are not hostile towards you or do not harm you. What it says, you must be not only fair with them, the word used birr, you must be kind with them. This is what our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. When our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard, at the time, even when there was hostility amongst Muslims and non-Muslims, that the people of Makkah are suffering from famine and drought, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally supervised food to go from Medina Munawwara to go and help the people in Makkah Mukarramah, although they were hostile against Islam and the Muslims. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the Fatah of Makkah, came into contact with non-Muslims who had been in the forefront of enmity and hostility against Muslims. Amongst them were people who had chewed the liver of the uncle of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had been responsible for the death of his daughter Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, "How do you expect me to treat you?" They said, "We expect kindness from someone who is so magnanimous." And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm." There is no reproach unto you today. The word tathrib means not only in today parlance, you will say, not only general amnesty, but there will be no censure with regard to what we have done in the past. The second type of relationship is known as muasat, not only permissible, encouraged. A relationship based on what is known as generosity, kindness, sympathy with regard to non-Muslims who are in difficulty. The third type of relationship is what is known as mudarat. Mudarat means a relationship which is on the basis of common courtesy, good akhlaq, pleasant manners, when you come into contact with a non-Muslim. That only, not only permissible, encouraged. Especially when the objective is to provide and show them some beneficial aspect of deen, show them some beneficial aspect of our religion. That particular then it becomes even more important to have mudarat. Mudarat, as I said, means pleasant conduct and character and being good. Like, for example, someone come to you as a guest. Even if he's a non-Muslim, you are required to treat them well. This was the example of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many examples. The tribe of Bani Thaqif came to visit Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they were not Muslims. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam put them up in the masjid. And the masjid, you and I are aware, my dear respected brothers, is a place of honor to each and every Muslim. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put them up where? In the masjid. A place of honor to each and every Muslim. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day came to hear about a Jewish youngster who was sick. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to go and visit him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that he was on his deathbed. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited him towards Islam. He looked up towards his father. His father said, "Ati Abul Qasim, listen to what Abul Qasim has to say unto you." He accepted and recited the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became extremely happy, went out of the house saying, "Alhamdulillah alladhi anqadhahu minan nar." Praise be to Allah who has saved him from the fire of Jahannam. Going to visit who? A Jewish youngster. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, and of course, if that particular non-Muslim is Ahle Kitab, then the terms of relationship is supposed to be a greater level. And if he's a non-Muslim citizen of an Islamic state, people are not aware of this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Whoever annoys and inconveniences a non-Muslim citizen of an Islamic state, I will fight on behalf of that non-Muslim citizen against him on the day of judgment. I will fight against him. You annoy a non-Muslim citizen of an Islamic state, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I will fight against you on the day of Qiyamah. The third type of relationship is mudarat. There is now one type of relationship which is forbidden. And let me explain that. And that is a type of relationship which is known as one that is of emotional and intense commitment and relationship with another person. The way the Quran has put it, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhu bitanatan min dunikum. Do not take as your bitana other than from your own ranks. The word bitana refers to a close confidant. Someone whom you are so close that you share your secrets, you share your problems, you are close confidant. Do not take as your confidant other than from your own ranks and from your own self. This is a particular type of relationship which means emotional and intense commitment and relationship which borders on love. That particular aspect, that particular type of relationship is only for people who are Muslims. Now the question, why is it only for Muslims? Of course, we have so little time, but very briefly, let me give you two reasons. You and I, my dear respected brothers, we are aware we have a purpose in life. Allah Ta'ala has made mention, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created jinnat and humankind but to worship Allah. In another place in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My salat, my loving, my dying, my sacrifice is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when it stands established that our purpose in life is to worship, obey, and be the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it naturally follows that anything that is allied or will help in this purpose, that particular aspect, that particular relationship, that particular deed, whether it be eating, whether it be drinking, whether it be relationship, that particular thing becomes good. And any aspect which takes you away from your purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is no good. You have to stay away from it. The main thing, one of the greatest obstacles in your path towards fulfilling your objective is shaitan. What does Allah Ta'ala say? Inna shaitana lakum aduun fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Shaitan is your enemy, regard him as your enemy, stay away from him. Now following from there, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, man ahabba lillah, he who loves another person for the sake of Allah. He who dislikes another person, not for his whim and fancies, but for the sake of Allah. فَقَدِ اسْتَكْمَلِ الْإِيمَانِ. He has completed his iman. Part of iman is that you even bring your personal likes and dislikes under the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is part of iman. That you bring your personal likes and dislikes under the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, your friendship, especially, not the friendship which is based on an intense commitment and which is based on making someone your confidant, should be with those who stands shoulder to shoulder with you in the pursuing of that particular objective. Your friendship and confidant should be with those who stand shoulder to shoulder with you in the pursuit of that particular objective of yours, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve Allah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must be with those who will stand shoulder to shoulder in helping you towards that objective. Allah Ta'ala says, لا تجد قوم يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. It does not behove a person who believes in Allah and his Rasul. Here the word again used would. For him to have excessive love for someone who disobeys and opposes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one aspect that we always got to keep in mind, that no matter how good a non-Muslim is and disbeliever is, he falsifies the greatest truth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with this message, I am the Rasul of humanity till the day of Qiyamah. I am the Rasul of Allah till the day of Qiyamah. If someone does not believe in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he is in actual words saying, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, aliyadu billah, is false and he is a liar in this particular claim of his. He will say that he is a liar in this claim of his. That is one thing that we've got to keep in mind. That's one of the reasons that we are people who have a purpose. Anything that helps us in this purpose, it is acceptable. Anything that takes us away from this purpose, that we must stay away from it. In fact, never mind disbelievers. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has said us, even if your wealth and your children take you away from your objective of pleasing Allah, then stay away from them also. إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. O people, O believers, do not allow your wealth and your children to divert you from Allah Ta'ala. The second reason is Islam is a decisive religion. One of the qualities of the Quran Allah has made mention is Furqan. Furqan means a decisive criteria between right and wrong, between truth and falsehood. In this particular regard, Islam does not allow compromise about its religion in a way that befogs or beclouds aspects of truth. It does not allow that. It does not allow any aspect where we befog or becloud the issues. Islam, we must keep in mind, is not a religion amongst other religions. It is the religion. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam. The deen in the eyes of Allah is only Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Whoever chooses a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him. Allah Ta'ala clearly says in the Holy Quran. Thus, when the non-Muslims and the disbelievers came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, they didn't say, O Prophet, they said, O Muhammad, do you worship our idols? We will accept Islam. You worship for 3 months, we will accept Islam. In one riwayat, you come and touch our idols, put your hands over our idols, we will accept Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Normally Allah does not refer and does not address the disbelievers with kafir. Quran normally, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to refer and to address believers and disbelievers. To refer to believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The only place according to Muayyat al-Shamul al-Tanwi where Allah ta'ala has addressed the disbelievers, oh kafir. We do not worship what you worship, and we don't expect you to worship what we worship. So why? There must be no compromise. The second reason we must understand is keeping this in mind, that is why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, the closest a person is to Allah when he's in sijda. Allah likes sijda from amongst your acts of ibadat more than any other act of ibadat. But when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, 3 times a day, it is never mind not permissible, it is haram for you to make sijda. It is haram for you to make sijda. Sunset, sunrise, zawal. Reason is why? People who worship the sun, and there were more in the previous time than what there is now, but they normally worship the sun at these particular occasions. Sunrise, sunset, and zawal. Islam had said, don't you go and make sijda at that particular time. Someone might say that the Muslim is following those people who worship the sun. And there must be a clear demarcation between people who worship the sun and those people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see the demarcation. Now when we keep that in mind, when you are going to be intimate with someone who disobeys and opposes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul, then there is this particular fear that you are going to compromise the fundamentals of your religion. You are going to compromise your religion. That is why this particular relationship is not permissible. So keeping in mind that I said, overall aspect with regard to our interaction with disbelievers, a thing that always we are faced with. 4 types of relationship. Mu'amalat, dealings I have explained. Mu'asad, relationship based on common sympathy and generosity. One on common courtesy. 4th, emotional and intense commitment. Very close confidant. 4 types of relationships that you have with another. All of these I've explained with regard to a relationship between Muslim and non-Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.